welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church, where our goal is to help you become successful in your relationship with Jesus. The first step? Join us in the Connect Room directly following service. This is for anyone who does not feel like they are connected to the family of God. Step two is to help discover more about God, yourself, and the church through Discover Classes and Discover Weekend. You can get more info in the Connect Room. The third step leaves all the choices up to you. To develop, one, your faith through classes, two, your relationships through groups, or three, God's church through serving. Finally, we want to help you lead in life. Step four is a course to equip you with biblical principles for success, influence, and leadership. Come and connect after service to take your next step today.
Good morning. Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Welcome to the 11 a.m. service. We got some live ones out here this morning. I really appreciate that. We're here to do announcements this morning. My name is Pastor George. This is my wife, Patricia. All right. We're going to do it the same way. We seem to have so much fun last week. We're going to try it again. I'm going to make the announcement, the title. You repeat after me, and then I'll explain the announcement. I'll do the first announcement, the second announcement. My wife will do the third announcement. Y'all got it? Are we ready?
Yeah.
First announcement, Connect Room. All right. If you're new or looking to get more connected, we encourage you to visit us in the Connect Room immediately after service, where you get to meet some of our staff and learn about the church, okay? The second announcement, Discover Class. All right, a four-week series of classes that are every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. that will help you discover more about God, more about yourself, and more about the church.
Groups!
Yeah.
Life is better in groups. Join a group today by visiting the group desk in the foyer or going on the website. We need each other. Can we say that? We need each other. So let's connect. Let's join a group so that we can fellowship with one another, build one another up, and be about our Father's business. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, give yourself a hand. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, good morning. How y'all doing this morning? How y'all doing this morning? Good. I'm so glad to hear that. So the altar is open. There's a lot of space up here. Please keep a 6 feet distance between you and your neighbor, just so that we're not breaking CDC guidelines. But come up and praise with us, right? Hey, hey, yeah. Thank you, Father God. You know, sometimes we just have to remember where we've come from so we can give God praise for going forward, right? Come on, come on. I'll never forget the way He's healed my body. I will never forget the way He broke me out of my bondage. I will never forget. So I would love to sing that with y'all. It's such an easy song. It goes like, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. And Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. What you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
Sing.
Never. Come on, last time. Say, I get peace when I think about
what he's done for me.
Yeah, I get peace when I think about
what he's done for me.
Say, I get peace when I think about
what he's done for me.
Come on. What the Lord
has done.
Here's another one. Say, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Hey, I said Jesus on the main line. Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Hey, say, call him my man.
Tell him what you
Come
want.
On, last time, sing that out. Say, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you
yeah.
want.
I said, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
I said, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Call him my man.
Tell him what you want.
So do you understand what you're singing at that moment? You see, my God says, if I ask, I shall receive. If I knock, it shall be open. And if I seek, I shall find. That's Matthew 7:7. So when we ask, it has to come. And when we knock, the door has to be open. So healing is here. If you believe that, then y'all should sing this song with me, because I need something this morning. I need to see the glory this morning. And I know that when I ask for it, it'll happen, right? So we're gonna sing that again. Come on and sing that. Say, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
I said, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Yeah, my Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
So I'll call him up and
tell him what you
Come
want.
On, last time with everything. Say, Jesus on the main line.
Tell him what you want.
Yes, my God is on the main line. Come on and give your God a shout this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on and shout this out. Say,
what can make me whole again?
It's nothing but the blood.
Jesus.
Oh, precious.
saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. You've been so good.
You've been so good.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you.
My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell.
You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up.
So you cleaned me up.
Yes, you thought I
was to die for.
And you sacrificed your life. So I can be.
Tell everyone.
Come on. and I will praise you. I'll worship you, and I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor. I'll worship you. I'll praise your name for your holy Lord. Your holy Lord. So I'll worship you. I'll give you glory. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Come on and sing that out. So you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for.
So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell. Come on and sing that again. Say, you thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. See, he thought you were to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
I don't know about you. I don't ever want to forget where I've come from. Listen, I don't want to go back. But I thank God that he changed my life. Craig, I was looking down here as you were worshiping. I was so blessed. Because you're singing about salvation. You got tears running down your eyes. But you came from a pagan background where you served the devil. But man, when God got a hold of your life, he changed your life. Amen. You're a living, walking, breathing testimony, man of God. This gentleman in the back, his name is Steve, and Steve was an actual Satan worshiper, and he gave his heart to Jesus, and he's a totally changed man. Some of you might not have ever worshiped the devil per se, but you came as an alcoholic. You come as a drug addict. Maybe you came thinking you all cleaned up. But the fact is, sin separates and destroys us. And I don't know about you, we all got something to praise him for. We are saved, washed in the blood of Jesus. We are new men and new women. We can't forget where we've come from. We can't forget to thank him. Carla, I'm going to tell. Is that right? Man, you all love Carla Vischer, don't you? Don't you love Carla Vischer? But you don't know where she came from. She was an alcoholic. She got busted how many times? 4 times, DWI. Served in jail, but Jesus changed her life. There's testimony after testimony in this room how God has taken people who no one ever thought, who would ever thought Rich Blaha would ever be sitting in a church? Some of them are still shocked. Who would ever thought you would have been in the house of God? But some of you grew up in church. Think, well, I didn't do that sin. I don't care what sin you didn't do. When you don't know Jesus, you're going to the same hell as everybody else. We got something to praise him for, amen? Dean Brewer, who would have ever thought you would have been in church? God changed your life. No one ever thought Dean Brewer. He takes a life. He took you. And he changed you not from the outside in. He changed you from the inside out. Because he loves you. He loves you so desperately, he doesn't want to leave you the same. And that's what I love about my Jesus. He never gives up. Oh, come on now. How many of you thought you'd have given up on yourself already? But Jesus has never given up on you. He loves you with an everlasting love. So when we sing this song, you know, when we sing this song, for me, that's not like, oh, that's a nice song. That's like, oh, come on now. He thought I was worth saving.
Come on.
And man, when I went to Bible school, literally people were putting bets down how long it would take me to get kicked out. No one ever thought I'd ever be standing behind a pulpit, especially after 33 years. But Jesus. Now my uncle's over there, he's crying because he was one that used to rip my ears off in Sunday school. He kicked me out of Royal Rangers, Christian Boy Scouts. He kicked me out of the Christian Boy Scouts. I did deserve it. But Jesus saw I was worth dying for. He came to save a life. I don't know where you come from, but I know this. You've never gone too far. You've never done too much. He thought you were worth saving. So he gave his life just for you. Amen?
Amen.
I just love y'all so much. I really do. You know, I haven't been here in so long. I've been like, it's like I haven't preached in 3 weeks. It's my first time. I think I forgot how to preach. I got to practice on you this morning. But yeah, 4 hours. But I just want you to know that my wife and I are so overwhelmingly blessed to be your pastors. We really are. You know, we brag about you all over the United States. No, really, you need to know God has given us tremendous reach. And Pastor Rhonda was on last week or the week before on international television, literally all over the entire world, sharing what Jesus has been doing in her life and sharing about you. Some of you watched, you know. We're just so proud to be your pastors. Thank you for loving Jesus. Because you know what makes us, I was on my way back, I'm almost done. I was on my way back from Florida, we drove back. And we stopped in South Carolina with Keith Smith. How many of you remember Keith Smith? He worked on the security team for a long time, and Keith Smith. And we stopped at my favorite food place called Waffle House. Jesus, I almost got blessed right there. Ow, my God. My wife, I can't get her to go to Waffle House. She says it's disgusting. But Keith said, would you rather go to Waffle House or this other? I said, let's go to Waffle House, because I know she's not going to say no to Keith. So here we are at Waffle House, and I had a waffle. It was good, a good waffle. And Keith looked and he said, you know, I've heard you say so many times, Pastor, that people who have left his tabernacle and moved to different areas have had an enormously challenging time finding a church like his tabernacle. And he said, you know something? It's true. He said, you don't really know what you have until you leave. He said, we have such a family there. And, you know, it's not the pastors, even though the pastors are cute. But we have something so special here. I was talking to our staff about it this week. There's something so special about God's fingerprint at his Tabernacle Family Church. Something so, you got that? Breaker 1-9. Something so special about his tabernacle. And I don't want us to forget that, because we really are blessed. The presence of Jesus is awesome in this place. In fact, this morning, if you have arthritis in your right hand, if you just slide it into the air right now, whew, Father, I sense your anointing to deliver those, Father, who have arthritis. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you, debilitating devil. I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command arthritis, go. And I command liberty to come to the joints. Father, I command, oil the joints, Jesus, and make them brand new that have been disintegrated. Make them so that their hands are normal. I rebuke, God, any rheumatoid, and I command that foul disease get out of the child of God in Jesus' name. Father, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Releasing the gifts of healing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. You may be seated this morning. So excited. Hey, how are you? I am so proud. Every time I see you, you make me happy. You really do. Thank you. I don't know about you, but I think my wife is absolutely beautiful today. Not, she's beautiful every day, but you're just beautiful, honey. Come here, let me kiss you. Come here.
Quick
Like, stop quickly.
My kid is 30 years old and he still threatens to beat me up every time I kiss his mother. Wow. Hallelujah. This morning, I don't have prophetic dreams often. They're very rare to me. And this morning, I woke up at 4:30 from a prophetic dream that I just wanted to share with you real quickly, and then I'm going to preach. And this morning, I woke up, and we've had, of course, people come to His tabernacle, and they leave His tabernacle. And we had some folks that have left that were very, very, not that everyone isn't dear, but some people have been with us so long. We had, at one time, a family left after 21 years. And it really broke my heart that they had moved on. This morning in the dream, I woke up and they were actually sitting in the sanctuary on the right-hand side, my right-hand side. And I remember in the dream, I was just bursting with happiness about how excited I was that they were back. And somehow, come on, you know how dreams work. I was then in the back of the sanctuary in the dream, like seconds. And I, for whatever reason, was bending. I think I was doing something with SWAT, Dan. I don't know what it was, but I was doing something with SWAT. And I look up, and they walked over, but they were in their wedding garments. She was in her wedding dress, and he was in his tuxedo. And I looked at them, and they said, "We're back home." And I remember, now I'm not a crier, but I remember dropping down to the ground and just crying in my dream. And the Lord said, "I'm sending my bride home." And I don't know if it had anything to do with them. I don't think so. I think it was just the connection that God used. But the bride is coming home. God's laid on my heart probably 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I shared it with the staff this week that this Easter, we're going to be calling it the Great Return. The Great Return. Jesus Christ returned from the grave. We're going to have a great return back to His house on Easter Sunday morning. So keep your eyes open of what God is going to do. It's just going to be a great time. I'm very excited today because we've been talking about this is the year of
change.
There you go. Shout it out loud. We are going to change forward. Well, one more time. We got to practice this now. Remember, I haven't been here in a long time. This is the year to change forward. Turn to somebody and say, "I'm going to change." Amen. What a year. Life has changed so much in 1 year. Everything has transitioned. Man, nowadays it's not straight. How many of you realize that you don't even bat an eye many times on somebody wearing a mask at a store? You don't even think about it anymore. In fact, if you're walking out without a mask, it's almost like you forgot to brush your hair. You know, things have changed so much in our lives over the last 365 days. We are not the same community. We are not the same people. Things have transitioned. Change has occurred. The world is changing. Our lives have changed. And sadly enough, many churches have changed. And today I want to talk about something that is unchanging. Last week, Pastor Cody crushed it, don't you think? He crushed it, man. We've been talking about change forward, but there are certain things that can never change. Pastor Cody preached on that God never changes, that there is a consistency with God. He said, "I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." What I love about God is that you can have faith in Him. You see, you cannot have faith in something that is always changing. Today, I want to talk to you about the Word of God, the Word of truth, unchanging. Now, this is something that has got to happen in the body of Christ if we're going to truly, genuinely have a revival that God has forecasted for the kingdom of God. He forecasted a third great outpouring of His Holy Spirit. He forecasted that He's going to have a great revival in the end days. He forecasted that there's going to be a mighty harvest, that the churches are going to just bring in the lost and they're going to get saved, that before the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, that a great harvest will happen. God is calling his people to a new level, that change level. But not just changing, not just transforming for a second, but changing forward so that the backwards is never to be returned to. God is bringing a transition to his church. The transition has to happen through his word. I'll take two. Can anybody give me a three? Third amen. And listen, when I left, we were Pentecostal. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 16 through 21. And it says this. For we do not follow cunning devised fables. Cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When we heard his voice which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Right now, our world is being moved by our thoughts and our processes, by secular humanism, by rationalism, by intellectualism, by experientialism, and people are being motivated by that. Listen now, they say that the millennials, now people bash the millennials as being young people, the top end of the millennials are like 32 years old, 32. So the millennials in the Z generation, they are more experientially based. In fact, they teach us as we're growing churches that one of the things that we have to pay attention to is usually a Gen Z and a millennial, they'll go to a church that they like their worship, actually get up and leave and go to the church that they like the better preaching. If you can keep them in both services, that's pretty good. It's amazing when you recognize that the experiential process is actually stronger many times than something that's solid. And that is within the church realm too. We have many people in the body of Christ these days that are no longer establishing themselves on absolute truth, but are establishing themselves on experience, establishing themselves on philosophical ideas, and they're establishing themselves on their own thoughts and their opinions. I don't know about you, but everybody's got an opinion. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
What's amazing is that everyone believes their opinion matters. One day my mom was selling my stepdad's truck, so I put it online and I put it on the low trade-in or the trade-in for a bad truck, you know, was like $9,400, and I put it in for $7,900 on Marketplace. And someone local commented, "Oh, you're trying to rip people off." And I private messaged him and I said, "Were you even interested in buying the truck?" And he said, "No, I just wanted to leave my opinion." Who cares about your opinion? What makes you think that your opinion actually matters? You see, this is the pride and the arrogance that has permeated even the body of Christ, where we actually believe that our opinion is higher than absolute truth. You see, as believers, we've got to come back to a truth. And that is that God's word is not some book that we put in a pew that you pick up once a week, but the word of God is truly God's word inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is God spoken, rhema word, living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, yea and amen, and Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. It's not just another book. It's not like the Bhagavad Gita. It's not like the Quran. It's not like Shintoism. It's not like any other religion. This is the word of God. This is God's truth. This is God's absolute truth. Here's the problem. in the body of Christ. We need a revival of the love of the Word of God. Because in the church realm today, there are so many people with their own opinions of whether they like the Bible, don't like the Bible, agree with the Bible, disagree with the Bible, that many people are not living by absolute truth, but more by their opinion than what the Word of God actually says. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I believe the whole Bible. I'm not sure if I believe, you know, the whole Bible because parts of it don't fit my lifestyle. Well, I don't care whether you believe in the whole Bible or not. The fact is, if you don't believe in the whole, you don't believe in any. You can't pick and choose out of the scripture what you like and dislike. At that moment, you've eliminated the word absolute. The word absolute means the highest, the pinnacle place, that it cannot be changed. It is the guide. It is the rule. Many times we have a lot of truth, or so we presume, or so we, come on now, want to share our ideas. But the fact is that there has to be something, just like God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There must be, as God has ordained his word to be, an absolute truth that the world has to be governed by, the absolute, the one and the only that cannot be changed, transferred, cannot be manipulated by our relevant world. Either the Bible is true or it's a lie. And the world looks at the church and we vacillate so much. Listen now, there's a lot of vacillation within the church. They said that over 80% of millennials and Gen Zers don't believe that premarital sex is a sin any longer. You find more pastors imbibing than ever before. When Pastor Cody goes to bring in some youth speakers for Uproar, he always has to look at their Twitter account. He has to look at their Instagram, and he has to look at their accounts to make sure that they're not sitting back and slopping back a scotch and smoking a stogie before they come and speak to the teenagers. My wife and I want you to know how much that the body of Christ has even transitioned to where now when you start talking about absolute truth, you start talking about the Word of God. It's not strange that people literally get up and walk out of the sanctuary while I'm preaching the Bible. We have whole denominations now that have left absolute truth that now will stand up and allow homosexual pastors behind the pulpit. The Catholic Pope not too long ago literally stood up and he said he believed. He believed and backed. Now I asked a strong Catholic how they handle that. He said he actually believed in how did he say it? It was a level of homosexuality. Yeah, what is I'm trying to think. What's the word where they dress one way? Transgender. And I said, how do you deal with that? Well, that wasn't a law to the church, because I don't know if you realize, but that a true Catholic, if the Pope speaks, it is law. But the Pope stood up and he said, personally, he believes in that now. How is that possible? How is it possible that the Word of God can be so distorted within God's own body that no longer is it absolute truth, but it is literally allowed to be discerned by someone's own intellectual thought process and own philosophical ideas and accepting what they like in relevancy to be more performing to the world? I'm here to tell you that God's Word is absolute truth, and there must be a revival that God's Word is true. Yay and amen. In these last days, this great revival that's going to come, it's not going to come by accident. It's going to come by truth being the truth. What is truth? You ever heard somebody say it to you? I did. I had somebody say it to me. What is truth? I said simple. It's the Word of God. But you see, many Christians don't believe that. They believe the absolute truth is absolutely subjective to their absolute lifestyle. That as long as that portion of the Bible fits what I live and what I do and what I say and how I act, that's what I'll accept. Other than that, I can deduce it out. You know, human nature is powerful. When you are doing something, when humans do anything that they know is wrong, they'll try to find somebody to agree with them. You'll always find someone to agree with you. The world is so distorted now because absolute truth has been eliminated, as God's word is now seen as a nice little book, or now, even in California, it is considered almost illegal. It is a bunch of hate crimes within a book. I don't know if you know it, but they passed a law years ago that literally, if that Bible would be considered a hate crime, and they tried to stop the sale of Bibles in California. We live in a world today that has left absolute truth because the church has not stood for absolute truth. It's a time that you and I have got to make a stand. I remember when our government, our local government, and our state government tried to tell us that we couldn't meet for church. I'm sorry. I'm not going to change what God's word says to make the governor happy. I have people mad at me. They're saying, well, you know, you didn't obey the governor. You didn't do exactly what you were asked to do. I'm telling you what I did. I did the word of God, because God's absolute truth is higher than any government. God's absolute truth is higher than any president. God's absolute truth is higher than any legislature. God's absolute truth is yea and amen. At some point in time, each believer has got to come to that conclusion. Is God's word true or a lie? Because God's word can't be half truth. It has to be absolute truth. There has been an onslaught for years and decades and millennials against the word of God, trying to get people to recognize that God's word is not true. It's just a nice little religious writ, a nice little religious book, a bunch of poems and stories and thoughts that, you know, you can even go to church and you can sit back and you can hear a nice story and feel good about yourself. But that's not what the word of God is about at all. God's word is about who he is. God's word is about what he expects. God's word is holy. God's word is rhema word. Living word. It is life. It is breathing. It is quick. It is powerful. It is alive. And God's word transforms us and makes us like God himself. The problem is when the body of Christ don't believe in the absolute truth. When the body of Christ will deduce and try to disdain and try to literally dilute the scripture to match how they live and how they think to make it validated, then absolute truth in the world becomes even more chaotic, because the church has lost, and we are the salt and the light, the preservers of the planet, that when the church no longer sees God's word as absolute, unstoppable, unchangeable truth, then the world has nothing to stand on. Is God's word true or a lie? Listen, our world has gone so far from the scripture. We have watched in the 1960s, they said the worst things that kids did was chew gum in the hallway, cuss a little bit, and throw things around. Maybe throw an M80 in the toilet. Boom! But nowadays, we have to scan them for guns. Nowadays, there is hate, literal hate crimes, not figurative hate crimes, happening within schools in all capacities. School has changed so much because they extracted the word of God and the word of prayer. Back in the 1960s, everything changed. Listen now, everything changed with society when we started extracting ultimate truth and the ultimate word as our ultimate guide. Today's is no different. Man, things are getting worse. Things are getting far worse. The Bible talks about it as absolute truth is removed, that the world keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Listen, the mentality of today is horrific. Nowadays, you can kill a baby when the head is crowning in the mother's vagina. You can abort that child, and it's okay. It's not murder. It's all right. You just didn't want the child. It's okay. Come on now. It's okay when you go and you do sinful things. My wife and I, we heard just a few years ago, we know an individual that was put in prison for pedophilia, and they were in the jail for literally most of their life. And while they were still in prison, they called us just after they had gotten out of counseling. And this is what they said. He said, I came out of counseling and my counselor taught me that pedophilia is not wrong. It's not wrong. It's just illegal. And that soon it will be a lifestyle that will be accepted like all the rest. Listen, the world, why are you shocked? Listen, in other countries, if you're an elderly person and your children don't want you around any longer, euthanasia is not a strange process. The world is getting worse because the church has abandoned absolute truth because they're afraid that people won't accept them, people won't like them, people won't agree with them. Well, I've got great news for you. Jesus said it best. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. When you start standing up for absolute truth and you start drawing lines of demarcation, it's a time to recognize that people don't like people telling them right and wrong. But when absolute truth is no longer followed, then there is no right and wrong. And I don't know about you, that should scare you. When there is no right and wrong, literally, not figuratively, everybody's own personal moral mindset and fleshly desires are considered good. Listen, we're not too far from there. Then we look at the church world. In the church world, we live any way we want. We act any way we want. When the pastor stands up and starts saying, hey, 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 be holy for I am holy, saith the Lord. Recently a man said to me, he goes, well, you know, I just need you to understand grace is more powerful than anything. And I said, grace is amazing. Mercy is formidable and an amazing gift that God has given the body of Christ. But do not be deceived. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. There is a line of reality, of truth that is absolute, and that is this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, I love God. Listen, if you love God, you can't take part of the absolute truth. You have to take the whole absolute truth. That means you can't live this way. That means you can't do this thing. Well, this should not be about a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, I'm telling you right now, we serve a God who was very clear in what was acceptable and what was not acceptable. I don't know about you, but I had a line like that in my house. And my kids recognize that you will not be disrespectful in my house. I don't care how old you are. We'll go to fisticuff if we got to, but you are not going to disrespect me in my own house. We had a young lady living with us for a while, almost a year. And one day, my wife calls me. It was during the motorcycle trading thing over here at the VFW. I got a call. You need to come home. You take her. I can't handle her anymore. She was 19 years old. And she said to my wife, you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me how to act. You're not going to tell me what I got to deal with and I'm going to tell you the way it is. Come get her. I went and got her. I brought her with me. I sat her down. And I said, you can't do that. In fact, you're going to write, I'm going to allow no corrupt communication to come out of my mouth. You're going to write it 100 times. I'm not writing 100, 200 times. I'm not writing it 200 times. 250 times. I got graceful. No, I'm not writing it 200. I said 300 times. No, I'm not. You can't tell me what to do. And you can't make me write anything. I said, that's right. Go get your stuff out of your bedroom. Go pack it in my car because I'm going to drive you down to your mama and I'm going to drop you off because now you've got to recognize something. Mercy and grace is one thing. But when someone is going to be straight up and say, I don't care what your rules are. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what the truth is. I don't care what the absolutes are. I'm going to do what I want. I want you to know you aren't going to reap the benefits of that place. God is absolute truth. His word is unchangeable. His word is solid. Like I said, people have been trying to mess with this for years. One person said, well, I'm a scientific individual, so I don't believe in the Bible. Well, that right there just shows your level of ignorance. Number one, I'm just going to give you a website, creationinstitute.com. Jump on there and start doing research. You can't research the Bible and not come out a believer. Dr. Greenleaf, one of the founders of Harvard University, he came out and he said, I'm going to destroy the Bible. I'm going to show you that the Bible is a bunch of fables and fakeness. I'm going to show you that it is not historically true. It is not scientifically true. I'm going to show you that it is not something valid. The problem was when Dr. Greenleaf, one of the founders of Harvard University, started studying the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he had to get born again. And then he had to write a whole dissertation, and you can find it online for free, that he declares the Bible to be truth. Science is amazing, and everybody wants to say, well, I just don't believe that there is science. I'm a scientist. I don't believe in the Bible. You see, if you're going to be a true scientist, there are three things that are mandatory. What you're studying must be observable. It must be measurable. And it must be repeatable. Here's a problem. The Bible can be proven scientifically, but it is written historically. And historically, you as a scientist cannot even prove that George Washington was the first president of the United States. You cannot use science and prove that he was a president. Why? You can't observe him. He's dead. You can't measure him. He's still dead. And you can't repeat him. He won't raise from the dead until the last days, and I don't know which place he's going. You see, historically is what God declared his word to be. And you can study the word of God with full clarity scientifically, archaeologically. You can work through eyewitnesses as it is historically. You can see the writings. There are over 6,000 manuscripts of the New Testament alone. And man, I want you to recognize that even with those six, there is not one writing on the planet that is even close to that many manuscripts being available to prove the validity of the historic value of the Word of God as the absolute truth. When there is no absolute, truth becomes a lie and lie becomes a truth. When there is no absolute truth, there is no guidance to what is allowed or disallowed. There are no boundaries without absolute truth. I'm going to be mean. I got to. Jade. I'm going to say, Jade got pulled over the other day. Pastor Jade got pulled over the other day. Speeding. Of course, if you know Pastor Jade, she is the sweetest South African you've ever met in your entire life. So the cops pulled her over. And she just starts crying. They let her off. It was very gracious. But watch. Why'd she get pulled over? She broke absolute truth. Even nature declares absolute truth. Every aspect of our life declares absolute truth. But when we come to the house of God, we want the preacher to preach them. Someone said to me the other day, literally said this to me, well, you know what? I just don't feel, you know, that fuzzy feeling when I leave church. I said, if you want fuzzy feeling, I'll give you a razor. I'll give you a peach. We're in the house of God so that we be equipped for the work of the ministry, brought to unity and brought to maturity so that we can get the job of God done, so that you and I as the body of Christ will move as one, so that we'll have the vision that will not be disturbed, then that we will be holy people separated unto God, for God is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. It's time for us to recognize that God's word, we've got to have a revival there. We've got to get back to the scripture. We've got to get back to the truth. We've got to start living the truth. We've got to start declaring the truth, and we've got to say that God's ultimate truth is higher than everything else in our lives. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. When absolutes are eliminated, sin is considered obsolete. When sin is obsolete, then this world is now denigrated to a position where it's our own philosophies of goodness or badness that now determine our levels of acceptance. Our fleshly desires are now literally our absolutes of life. See, there is only one absolute. And the body of Christ has to have a resurrection to it. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to the Word of truth that is unchanging, just like our God is unchanging. He gave us an unchanging script. He gave us an unchanging Word. He gave us an unchanging dictation. And He said to you, He said to me, this is my Word. This is my Son. Follow it, guide it, and it will bless you. It will encourage you. It will strengthen you. It will empower you. It will heal you. For He sent His Word to heal you. Everything about God's Word is living and powerful. But if we do not believe God's Word is absolute, then sin can be anything. We've got to get back to the Word. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We've got to get back to believing that the Word is absolute truth. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Our moral compass can't be devised by our communities. Well, I accept this, I don't accept this. I don't care what you accept. Doesn't matter what the preacher's opinion is. Don't matter what the church's opinion is. It matters what the Word says. Because the Word is our absolute truth. Listen now, until that settles in our spirit, then you're going to be governed more by your flesh than you are by the Spirit of God. And you're going to think that you're okay when you're not okay. You can't live one way and say you love God. Now, I believe people love the Lord. But because they don't accept the Scripture as absolute truth, it's going to destroy them. Because sin is not obsolete. Even if you don't believe that it's the absolute truth, it is still not obsolete. Every single human being, whether on this side of eternity or that side of eternity, will bow their knees to a living God and declare that He is Lord. If it's on this side, those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Absolute truth. Change from the inside out. The Holy Ghost comes and dwells inside. You are now a child of the living God. Your sins have been paid for, washed away. Old things are passed away. All things become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You will let Christ pay for your sins on this side of eternity. But for those who don't believe in absolute truth, they will still be in this posture. But yet they'll have to pay for their own sin because they chose not to believe absolute truth. If the church don't believe it, the world never will. If the church don't live it, the world, they have no measuring stick to live by. For you are the Word that they will see. Say amen. I'm just believing that this resurrection has to occur within the body of Christ. I'm declaring that as this is the year of change forward, our change cannot be deduced by our own philosophical ideas or by what we like or dislike or by what makes us feel good or not feel good, but we have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to bring the Word of God living in life to us, to our position where we are. And each one of us are in a different position. Each one of us are in a different level of growth, but God wants to grow you. God wants to mature you. God wants to cleanse you. God wants to purify us. But we've got to be willing to say, I believe God's Word is true. And if God's Word is true, then I'll do whatever it tells me to do. Say amen or oh my. Oh boy, I jumped around a lot. You know why I have notes? For mercy only. because I can preach for hours and hours and hours and hours. How many remember the book of Genesis chapter 3? Genesis is an amazing book. It shows the firsts of God. I love studying the firsts of God because the firsts always show order. So the firsts of God are so cool as we watch God. We see the Holy Spirit brooding over the earth at creation. Amen? Come on, I love that. We see the Holy Ghost there. And then we see Jesus, John chapter 1, say, and I was at the beginning, I was at creation. And then you hear the Father God say, let there be. And there was. Created man, he created woman. Chapter 1's creation. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Give them dominion. Chapter 2 about all getting our garden all set up. And chapter 3 we see the first of the devil. The first of the devil shows that his tactics have never changed. Corinthians makes it very clear. Don't be deceived. The devil's actions are the same all the way through. Don't be deceived by the devil's actions. The devil's done the same thing the whole time. He's always done this. He's always brought people to question absolute truth. He said to Eve, by the way, where was her husband? Husbands, when you're not around where you're supposed to be, you're going to find that the covering to keep your wife safe isn't where it should be. Say amen. Here she is, and the devil comes to her and says, listen, look at that tree. That's a nice tree. That looks succulent. That is beautiful fruit. And she said, God said, if we eat it, we're going to die. Do you know that God never said that? Stop adding to the scripture, too. God said, don't touch it. She listened to the devil attacking absolute truth given by absolute authority. You see, you cannot have absolute truth unless you have absolute authority. That's why we had Pastor Cody and the rest of the campuses preach that God is unchanging last week. Because you cannot have this week without last week. You cannot have absolute truth of the Word of God, where Christ is the Word that became flesh, without having God being God, I change not. You can't have faith in something that is always moving. When the standards are always changing, when the rules are always changing, you will not be able to put faith in what you're believing for. So Eve, listen now. This is the problem. When we want to listen more to the satisfactions, come on now, of the flesh, then we want to listen to the absolute authority who's given us absolute truth. You shall not surely die, the devil told her. And you know what? He was somewhat right. He always tells you half truth. She did not physically drop dead, but she literally died spiritually, where there's a division between her and God because she abandoned absolute truth given by absolute authority because she allowed her flesh to dictate what she now found to be the new rule. If we're going to have what God has promised us to have in these last days, if God is not going to pass over his tabernacle family church, then we have to have a revival of the Word of God where the people are saying, listen now, I'm not perfect. Come on now, can anybody say you're not perfect in the house? Turn to the person next to you and say, I know I'm not perfect. Tell somebody else, I know you're not perfect. No, don't tell them that. That's not your job. Nobody's perfect. But we should all be striving for the truth. Church, I believe in these last days, those who do not settle themselves in for absolute truth, I'm not saying you're living perfect. I'm saying absolute truth is what you're going to guide your life by. You're going to allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit not to be literally broken down and put to your back pocket because you don't like him that day, but you're going to listen to the Holy Ghost when he puts his finger on something in your life. And you're going to say, listen, Holy Ghost, I know the Word and the Spirit always agree. I know, God, that this is what I'm not doing right, so I'm going to realign myself. I'm going to set myself up for success. I'm going to say, God, if you're for me, who can be against me? I'm going to say, God, right now, I take you as my absolute authority, not my flesh, not my community, not my government, not my philosophy. God, you are number one, and I set myself in order in the name of Jesus, and I declare by the power of God that I submit to the ultimate authority, even if I don't like it. When we do that, there's a shift. The shift doesn't come externally, it comes internally. And then sin doesn't have the same power it's had in your life. You see, God holds his word above his name. Psalms 138:2. I will worship towards his holy temple and praise his name for your loving kindness and for your truth and faithfulness. Do you realize if you don't have truth, you can't be faithful? That's why you did wedding vows, not wedding hopes. You did a vow because you were declaring these are the absolute rules. We just did a marriage conference this weekend. I'm waiting for more of the marriage conferences. Say amen. Amen. For you have exalted above all else your name and your word, and you magnified your word above your name. Absolute truth given by absolute authority. Give absolute guidelines. You see, when we abandon those, we can even deceive ourselves to a position that we're okay knowing we're not living God's word. We will validate our actions because we got to go to bed that night and sleep with ourselves. That's right, when you're sleeping with somebody else, when you're not married, you shouldn't be sleeping with them. Say amen or oh my. God is so powerfully driven by this truth that in the book of Exodus chapter 20, he literally took his finger, the finger of God, and he wrote 10 commandments on a piece of stone. He didn't tell the angels to do it. He did it. Because absolute truth must be penned by absolute authority. And when absolute authority is not obeyed, then absolute truth is abandoned. Therefore, now, come on now, what did he come off the mountain and see the children of Israel doing? They went back to the gods of Egypt. They erected and literally formed out of gold an image of a cow and started worshiping an image of a cow. Come on now. Let's just get smart. You don't worship cows. You eat them. I believe in steak. God penned it because he didn't want man to mess it up. He wanted man to have clarity what was allowed and disallowed. But don't tell me what to do. You see, absolute authority demands absolute submission. And this is why mankind doesn't want to submit to a living God. Not that the word can't be proven scientifically, historically, archaeologically, prophetically. Absolute truth. But because they do not want to bow their knee to a living God and say, my life is not my own. You bought it with the price of your son. That's powerful stuff right there. You don't believe part of absolute. you believe the whole of the absolute. A church that will do that will see the outpouring of God's Spirit because he can trust them with the winds of the Spirit. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you have just the Holy Spirit, but you do not have the absolute authority and absolute truth, then you end up like the church of Corinth that was acting the fool, that God, by his servant Paul, had to rebuke. But when you have the absolute truth and you allow the Holy Ghost to move, then you don't have the nuts, fruits, and flakes wiping out people all over the community. You have clarity and power and authority. Amen. This morning, I just want to challenge you to get back to absolute truth. God is unchanging, unmovable, faithful, consistent, and so is his word. What I love about this is this. When I pray, I can have faith that when I pray, I can get what I'm praying for. But when you do not have absolute truth, you cannot have faith even that you're saved. Is God's word truth to you? Or is it just the part you like? Is God's word truth to you? Is it the absolute? This is important. Because if persecution comes to the church like it is supposed to, like it will, you'll have to stand in absolute truth with persecution coming on you, knowing that your job is to please God, not to please man. But you'll always please man when absolute truth is not your guidance, making people happy. Bow your head to me this morning. Every one of us this morning, this is not something your preacher can conclude in your life. Not something your wife, your husband, your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your aunt. The receiving of absolute truth is determined by your decision to submit to the ultimate authority called God. We don't have religion here for you. You know that if you've been coming for any period of time, you know I don't got religion for you. But I have a living, breathing relationship with a risen Savior who is the Word that walked it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't have a church for you to join. I got a God for you to know. And absolute safety, absolute security, absolute blessing, even in the middle of the furnace. You see, it's not that you won't be in the furnace, but what the furnace does is tests whether you believe it's absolute truth. Do you stand while everything seems to be burning around you? Or do you vacillate to your personal deductions and philosophical ideas? The fire's there. The wages of sin is death. But I got a Savior for you. Sin will kill you, but Jesus will save you. God is merciful. He loves you. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to lead you to the one of absolutes, the one who will protect you, save you, heal you, deliver you, and give you eternity that is unquestionable. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're watching online this afternoon, this is about you right now. This is about you right now. If you do not know Jesus, there's an absolute truth for you. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Today, if you would like Jesus to be your Lord and Savior in this room, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. By your hand going up says, I want God. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Is there anyone in the room this morning? I'm not going to wait long. One person gave their heart to the Lord this morning. An early service. Don't leave this building without making a decision. Listen, no decision is a decision. If you would like Jesus, slide your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, and last call, and 1. If you're online and you want to give your heart to Jesus, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get right down into the section of comments, and I want you to write, I need Christ in my life. Someone's going to reach out to you right now. Or you can grab your cell phone and dial 97000 and type in the text, I am saved. Someone's going to reach right out to you. We got a Bible for you. We want to encourage you. No matter where you are in the world today, whether you're in Pakistan or India or you're in Africa or in England, no matter where you are, if you're in Denmark, this word is just for you. If you're in Elmira, Horseheads, if you're in Big Flats, if you're over in Corning, if you're down in Mansfield, Alfred University, if you're all the way up in Danby, God has a message for you. Those who call on his name, it's an absolute truth, will be changed from the inside out. So make sure you let us know that you want Christ. We'll make sure that you don't just start, but you finish. Father, I want to pray for us as a body. Father, we repent right now in the name of Jesus. God, repentance is turning from and turning to. God, we ask that you forgive us for making the absolute authority and the absolute truth to being less than what it actually is. We ask, God, that you'll forgive us and that you'll position and posture us, that we will follow you all the days of our lives, that we will obey you. Lord, obedience is better than sacrifice. God will run with you all the days of our lives, and that Jesus, many souls will be harvested, not only because we believe in you, but because we live you. So Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving us your word, the Bible, unchanging truth. We stand on it. We live it. We declare it. In Jesus' name, amen.
And family, we want to connect with you today. We have a connection room that we've started back up. Maybe you've come here 20 years and you've never taken the time, but you slip in the back and you slip out really quick. We would love to connect with you. So on your right, my left, down this hallway, there's a connection room. Make sure you stop in there and say hello to us. We have ministers in there, and we would love to get you connected to the body of Christ. We're entering into the time of tithes and offerings, which you find in the Word of God. This isn't something a church or a pastor made up. This is from God. In Malachi 3, it says to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And the word tithe simply means 10%. It's what the word means. And in Matthew, Jesus in red letters says, you tithe, this you ought to do. And in this house, we love to give. We have tried Jesus in this because he tells us to. Test him in this, try this, and see that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing upon us. So we give in this house. We love to give because we get to watch God take our natural money and make it supernatural. And there is nothing more exciting, especially in these times when the natural is so unstable and so uncertain. We can take our money from that realm and put it in God's supernatural realm. And we can watch in times of famine where we will increase, in times of drought where we will increase, in time of when the stock markets plummet, we will increase as the body of Christ. Where jobs are scarce, we'll have jobs and we'll have plenty. When there's nothing, ravens will come and feed us. When we have need, we'll pull money out of a fish's mouth. Your money gets to move from being natural to supernatural when you put it in the kingdom of God, and we get excited about that in this house. So if you'll stand to your feet with me, we're going to make a supernatural declaration, and this is the word of God, and I never want this to become a religious act for you. Please don't ever let this become a religious it's going to go forth, it's going to do what it's sent to do, and it's not going to return to us void. So if you'll repeat after me the word of God from Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God.
Praise.